Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. We'll be looking at some Bible numbers here. Genesis 15. Tonight we're going to be looking at the number 15. Wait for it. Can't remember where my switch is here. Hold on. There we go. There we go. As we're in Genesis chapter 15. Look down at verse 4 says, "And the word, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, and shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, what happened right there? He believed, and what happened? God counted it to him for righteousness. Okay? So we see that there. And he says in verse 7, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Number 13, number for rebellion, right? So he says, verse 14, "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance." We looked at number 14 last week. That was deliverance, salvation. You get, listen, 13, 14, 15. "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age." Wouldn't you like to know God's going to let that work out just like that for you? You're going to die in peace, not pieces.
Right.
That's good. That's good information. I'd like to know how the end's going to be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, God's not telling anybody that right now. I heard recently somebody say that they was talking about somebody's testimony. Their dad was a preacher, godly man, and he called his kids in one day and said, "I believe the Lord said I'm going home tonight." And they thought, "No, Daddy, not you, not even." By the way, the man was 80 years old. And they said, "No, Daddy, no, you're just getting older. You're thinking like that." He said, "I'm just telling you this because I want to tell all you by and I love you. And God will be with you just like he was when I was here." He went to sleep that night in total peace and woke up in heaven. Sometimes God lets you in on that. Sometimes he don't. I've never understood that thing. I'm just glad I know where the end of the trip is, no matter how we get there. And I notice in Genesis 15, listen, you can rest in what God says. You got rest, you got peace. When does that come? After salvation. After salvation. As you notice up here, our number tonight is the number 15. Now do it. Okay. Was you doing it, sir? That's 5 points off this guy right here, Brother Curse. Keep score with me. We got to get you for that. Anyway. Tonight's number 15, and as we look at the number 15, we see the first use of the number in the Old Testament. If you'll notice this one, is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 10, the word 15. It says, "And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters." 815 years, sons and daughters. Wow. Can you imagine how many kids y'all could have in 815 years? Leslie, y'all been married how long again? 21 years, and you got 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. "Thou shalt be as the stars of the sun." Golly. Can you imagine how many childbirth classes that would be, brother? I don't know why they give you the second one if you went to the first one, but I don't know. I just know it's kind of odd that, you know, the word 15, first time it shows up is in 5 and 10 up there. It's just coincidence. That's nothing to do with anything. God wasn't in that, was he? Or was he? It was like he shows up with peace and rest over after he tells Abraham how things are going to work out for him. See, God's very particular about this book. He's very particular. First New Testament occurrence, you'll notice, is John chapter 11, verse 18. It says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. What are they going to find at the end of that road? What are they going to find? They're going to find a dead man. They're going to find a dead man. Before they get there, they're going to find Thomas the Baptist saying, Lord, we're just going to go there and die with him, I reckon. Everybody talks about the great apostles of the faith. There's one right there. I would just go die with him. They said, that's Doubting Thomas. That ain't Doubting Thomas. That's Thomas the Baptist. John the Baptist doubted, and Thomas was the Baptist. Amen. Say it right there. That's exactly right. You be around Baptists long enough, you'll find out there ain't no faith in the Baptist church to blow out a candle sometimes. Right. All you got to do is say, I believe the Lord wants us to, and if it's anything costing money, you'll find out who's a believer.
Right. Right.
Amen. Well, we ain't got that. We can't do that. We can't do this. We started our missions program 20 years ago. You know what I heard? Ain't nobody will ever do that here. We about give 10 churches every year. Every year. Why? Because we decided we was going to listen to God instead of listen to people.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Listen. Listen to this. We look over here, the meaning of the numbers rest in Genesis chapter 1, verse 15. The first 15 says, let them be for lights and firmament, and the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And then down in Genesis 15, 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. Why should you fear not? He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What comes to 15? Rest. I've never met anybody that don't like to rest. I've met people that like it too much, but I've never found somebody who didn't like it. The guilt and the conviction has went across the crowd. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, over the New Testament, the Bible says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What does he do for sinners? He gives you rest. He gives you rest. See, we looked, I said last week, at 14 was deliverance and salvation, and 15 follows 14. I know y'all didn't know that, but I was going to put it up here in writing where y'all would actually say, I saw that in writing, it is true. But rest follows salvation and or deliverance, according to those numbers. And by saying that, the first time that the Israelites rested was in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. It said, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. To the Lord, 7 days must ye eat unleavened bread. They rested. They rested. Hey, listen. I like to preach on rest with salvation because a lot of people claim salvation. They've never rested. They've never rested in anything. They got stuff going on, listen, that I couldn't take a bottle of pills today to get settled in my life. Constantly something. And if ain't nothing, I'll start something.
Right.
You need to rest.
Right.
Right. Listen, they rested the 15th day. What about that? Mm-hmm. And listen to this one. The second time they rested, Leviticus 23, verse 34 and 35, it says, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days of the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Isn't it good how God brings that thing to their attention? Just time to rest. It's time to rest. If you look over at Matthew chapter 11, I believe in doing the work of the Lord. I believe you should do the work of the Lord. I believe in reading the Bible. You should read the Bible, right? I mean, that's just basic Christianity. But one thing's for sure, listen to this. You need to rest too. A lot of folks stay so busy they never realize that they're tearing themselves apart. And then some folks, they make a profession of faith and there's never any rest in their life. He said, do you think they're saved or lost? I don't know, but it sure does look like one or the other, don't it? He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's something God wants for you. A lot of folks have never experienced the rest of God. They can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Worried about the bills. They can't get no rest driving down the road, worried about what somebody's going to pull out and not let them have the right of way.
Right.
I knew this guy who was not a defensive driver. He had the worst insurance in the world. The worst. He'd pull out in front of you in a minute if he knew you're not. And for an old man, I've never seen somebody pay such high insurance premiums. All because he's like, they ain't getting ahead of me. Is that you? You drive like that? Listen, when you was learning to drive, didn't your daddy tell you to drive defensively or something like that, or your mama or somebody? You got to watch out for people.
Right.
Now, I don't want to judge anybody, but there's certain things going down the road that So what are you doing? Well, I ain't preaching. I'm texting on my phone. Well, if I can't preach for texting, I bet you can't drive for texting either.
Right.
Ooh. You got a cell phone? But keep it in your pocket when you're driving, okay? That goes straight from the pulpit tonight to you. That's a word. Listen, with holiness, would say that's a word from the Lord. Why do people do that? Because they have no rest. They got to get that last word in. Listen, you're going to find out one day that half that stuff you worried about and half them texts you sent out, they didn't even read them no way.
Right.
They didn't care what you had to say. And by the way, I may be just speaking out of turn here. I don't care what you have for dinner.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
This makes me hungry to see it. So don't put that up there. That's just wrong.
Right.
Man like me battling, what is it called? Obesity and overeating and all that stuff, and you're going to put some big old ribs on there? You shouldn't do that to me. I may be judgmental, but you are a temptress. That's what you are. Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen.
That's just wrong. Don't do that to somebody. But I see a lot of people doing that. And I found out something the other day. There was a fellow told me he was driving down I-85. You know, it's already a mess over there, like construction. Woman driving with her knees texting. Half the women I know can't drive with their hands. How are you doing this right here?
Right.
And you men, I won't even get started on y'all.
Right.
Driving with your knees? Come on, you didn't learn that in no driving school. That wasn't in the handbook. I know that wasn't.
Right.
Hey, you need some rest. Need some rest. He said the second time they rested, what happened? It was on the 15th day of the month. We get down over here, and the third time they rested, it says in Esther chapter 9, verse 20, and Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both night and nine far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Now ain't this something? They rested. They rested. A lot of folks, listen, they're so busy that if they had to rest, they'd have to schedule it.
Yeah.
Well, I got exactly 34 minutes I can rest right here.
Yeah.
Between this class and this class. That's what college students think. Listen, in case you didn't know this, college is not like high school. When you go there, your classes are about this far apart instead of right here. You ain't got a bell ringing and a 3-minute dash to get to the next one.
Yeah.
Stop and smell the roses while you're going and enjoy the trip.
Right.
Missionaries, it's on deputation. Enjoy the journey. Because when you get to the field, there ain't no bunch of preachers to fellowship over there with.
Right.
Not
right.
Usually. Not usually. Usually, you're the only one out there in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You say, well, what if I'm a local missionary? I wonder how many Bible-believing missionaries are going to be right where you at, though.
Right.
Ain't going to be none. You have to hunt. You have to hunt three states to find one.
Right.
Why do people do that? Because they don't learn how to rest.
Yeah.
I seen a missionary come home from the field. His wife was devastated. There was no Walmart in that foreign country that's in. This is true. I kept a letter for years. I just marked out the names and then I lost the letter. No Walmart in that country. Can you imagine how it would be with no Walmart in the country? Do you know for America, we had that thing 200 years without one in our country and we did fine?
Right.
So what would you do in places? I guess you'd buy live chickens like the rest of them, cut them up and get them home. So I don't think I'd do that. Don't go to the field.
Right.
I don't mind cutting up live chickens. It's when they have something on plate. I don't know what it is. That's when I'd wonder about that. That'd be what bothered me.
Right.
But you go to these places and go out there, they ain't got no Walmart. He was devastated. They had no golf courses in the country.
Right.
I couldn't imagine what it'd be like with no golf courses. I hate golf anyway and can't play. It's a sin because I can't do it. So anyway. But I look at stuff like that and I think, what were you thinking you were getting into?
Right.
You know what it was? You know what it was? They never took the time to rest and stop and look at what they were doing. You know that Jesus told people about counting the cost over there, but before you build something, count the cost. Before you build a ministry, you better count the cost. Because
right.
There's a cost on your family. There's a cost on you. There's a cost on your furniture. There's a cost on your credit score. I mean, all that stuff's affected. Every bit of it. It said the third time they rested was in Esther. You know what happened in the book of Esther? The strangest thing in the world. Strangest thing. You had a guy over there. I think his last name in the Hebrew was Pelosi. But I'm not sure. I can't remember. It's been a while since I looked this up. But that guy took and said, you know what? He said, if I were you, King, I'd build a gallows 40 feet high. I'd hang that sucker on it. He said, I tell you what, like any good pastor, you know what he said? You believe God told you that, you go out and get her built. So he did. He had no idea he was building the gallows that he was going to hang himself, they was going to hang him on.
Right.
You know what that guy didn't have in his life? He didn't have no salvation, therefore he didn't have no rest.
Right.
The only thing bothered him was Mordecai snubbed him one time. Mm-hmm. In a Baptist church, you don't shake hands with them on Sunday morning, they won't be back Sunday night. Oh, they don't treat you right down there. They mean down there. They mean to you down there. I've never really seen that in a lot of people, but if I miss shaking your hand, I'm sorry. In advance, I didn't mean to. But if you don't shake mine, I ain't coming back. Be like you are. I see in the number 4 down in your paper some special uses of this number. The 15th time the word Naomi is found where she said this to Ruth. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Naomi was a character, wasn't she? Her and her husband, they said, you know what? It's getting dry around here, so let's pack up the family and go over there where the next big thing is over there, where everybody from around our church is around here is all leaving and joining over there.
Yeah.
They went over there, and what happened? They got over there. Her husband died. Her sons, and their name really means sickly and puny. You imagine taking that crowd out to a foreign field out there, sickly and puny? They got out there and died too. So she's out there empty-handed with two daughters-in-law, and one of them says, Mama-san, we love you, but I got to go back to over here where the idols are. This ain't working out for me. And the other one, Ruth, says, I want to go with you. I want to go with you.
Yeah.
She realized what she'd been brought out of, And she knew that the plan of God went with that woman. She didn't understand how, but she did.
Yeah.
And look, the 15th time Naomi shows up, she said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? She knew rest followed salvation. She'd already got a taste of it over there. And she knew if she was going to go with the things of God, that thing had dried up over there. It's time to go over there where God is.
Yeah.
By the way, can I tell you this? God was there the whole time.
Amen.
So how do you know? Well, see, a famine in the Bible is always a test for God's people. Always. Look over at Genesis chapter 12. I believe it's 12. If not, we'll find it when we get there. It's one of them chapters over there anyway. We got to 12 o'clock. We'll find him. Genesis chapter 12. It is chapter 12. I was right. Famine's always a test in the Word of God. And it says in verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Doesn't that sound like something where God told us about, over there in chapter 15 about the same thing? I'll take care of you, Abram. Don't worry about it.
Right.
So did he rest in that? Do you remember I just pointed out in Genesis 15 is when he said, he believed God was counting him for righteousness? Look at verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. Here's the test. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. What happens to people? Well, they make a profession of faith and they're not real about it. Next thing you know, God tests that thing right there. And the first thing that happens is the test comes, and what do? Failed. Wouldn't it be sad if you was in a classroom setting and you were there to earn a degree that would help you have a better paying job or whatever, or know more about the field you're already in. First day of class, the guy says, if you write your name on a piece of paper, I'll give you 100 to start the class out with. And you thought, well, I'd do that. Until he said, do it. And he's talking and texting and all this other stuff, and didn't hear him say it. Everybody's handing in the paper, and you go, what are they doing? You handed the paper too. A blank one. So instead of starting out with 100, you start out with 0. Simple test, and you failed. Oh, it wouldn't happen to me, preacher. Look here. Yeah. I know it wouldn't happen to you.
No.
You'd never do that. Simple test. Something just came to me, and I was thinking about this. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I think that's what driving with your knees is. And texting and not looking at the road. Thou shalt not tempt. Remember, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This guy's all separated over here, so I'm going to try to preach him. The rest of y'all's all congregated, ecumenicized over here, so I'm going to try to get him, help him out. But listen, a lot of folks never find rest in something like that. Why didn't he find it? Listen, have you ever heard somebody say, well, if God spoke to him, God spoke to him. God spoke to him. He didn't have no Bible. He didn't have somebody say, there's the promises of God. If you'll do such as God. He didn't have none of that. He had God tell him.
Yeah.
Just like God told Adam, you have everything here but that. Mm-hmm. Ain't it funny how God works that deal out where he tells you something and you still don't listen?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take care of it. No problem. Famine comes. What does he do? Down in Egypt. You see that word down right there? I found several people that went down the Bible. You know what they were doing? They were running from rest. Mm-hmm. Instead of resting in God's promises, they took off.
Yeah.
Some saved, some lost. Here's the saved people that done it, though. This guy Lot, over here in the next chapter, he looked at them well-watered plains of Sodom over there and said, you know what? I like that. That's good stuff over there. I think I'll take that route over there. So what'd he do? He backslid. So where'd he wind up at? He went down into Sodom. Down. Another guy named Jonah. God said, listen, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. He said, I can't do that. You know, them's Gentiles. I'm a Jew. We don't like them people. They're not our kind. You know, not our kind. They ain't like us. Bunch of dogs. That's what he said about them. You know what he did? You follow Jonah chapter 1. He went down and he went down and he went down and he went down. And when he couldn't go no further and thought you'd hit rock bottom, they threw him overboard and he went down even more. He went down in the whale's belly and went down to the bottom of the ocean there.
Right.
They just keep going down. Jesus asked this question of his disciples. He said, whom do men say that I am? Oh, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. But whom say thou art that I am? Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember old Big Mouth over there said that? Well, they're going to take me and crucify me. Oh, I ain't going to let them do that to you, Lord. Then he called him a Satan right behind that. Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. Why? He wasn't looking for rest. He was looking for a fight. Get this. He got his fight, too. And when they come to arrest Jesus, it was Peter that drew the sword that cut that man's ear off. I've been meditating on this thought right here and thinking about this. Jesus picked up that man's ear in front of the people who were going to arrest him and Judas and put that man's ear back on, and you couldn't even tell it had ever been off. And they still arrested him.
Yeah.
Oh, if God would speak to me, he performed a miracle before their very eyes.
Yep.
Pretty impressive one too, might I add. Taking a body part and putting it back on and no surgery, and it's better than it was before. So what'd Peter do? Luke 22, he sat down among them.
Yep.
Says it just as plain as day in the Bible. Why'd he do that? Well, there's several proper reasons, but number one, he was getting away from the rest that God promised. But every case I just told you about was prior to the Spirit of God being given. What's our excuse again? We got the Spirit of God. See, I preach messages like this because I know this. God takes this book and works on people's hearts. He wants you to find rest in him. Some Christians, they never rest. They cannot rest no matter what. You'll go over there and you'll find Mary and Martha over there. Martha's at Jesus' feet and Mary's up running around. Or am I right? Is that right? Or have I got them backwards? So y'all do know who didn't rest. See what I'm saying? You get somebody like that over there, they run around like a chicken with their head cut off, and then they look over at somebody who's trying to worship the Lord. Well, why ain't they doing what I'm doing? Kind of like when Peter said, Lord, what's this man going to do? He said, what is that to thee, follow thou me?
Right.
You know what the most scariest thing in the Baptist church is? A church that don't have a day off. There's churches that don't never take a day off. They have the philosophy that idle hands are the devil's workshop. If we keep them busy, they can't get in trouble. Let me give you a little print to see here. If you keep them busy, they won't pray and read their Bible, and then they will be in trouble.
Right.
Okay? I don't care what you do on Monday night. I don't care what you do on Monday morning. As long as you ain't some beer joint and out trying to, you know, shoot somebody or whatever you do. Don't be doing that. Don't do that. But listen, this is the kind of church here where we don't bother you on Monday and Tuesday night and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. When we have revival, you don't seem to want to bother us either. Why is that, wonder? I'm going to tell you why. You ain't learned how to rest. I had the privilege of being Brother Chris Henry the day I met the man 20-something years ago. Y'all know him? You should meet him. He's unlike anybody I know. And I mean that good. We were at a preacher's fellowship, and we had to sit through preachers making excuses for their members left and right. And there's one sitting on the front row. And every time somebody would say something, you should be in the house of God. And he'd say something like, unless providentially hindered, amen. And I remember Brother Emory getting up to preach. He said, listen, I've been listening to this junk all afternoon. He said, let's get some ground rules established. You won't say nothing while I preach, you listen. He said, because I sit here and listen to every one of you. He said, if you say providentially hindered one time, I'm throwing a songbook at you. He said, there's more people in Baptist churches that's not providentially hindered that claim that stuff. It's lying before God and man. And if we as the holy of a church as they had in Acts chapter 5, God would kill them right there at the altar.
Yeah, right.
I said, my goodness. Well, he just wanted them to rest. Just wanted them to rest is all. I see preachers begging with their congregation. Just begging them. Trying to set up something special for them so they'll be interested in coming to church. Hey, there ought to be something special already inside you that's interested in coming to church.
Right.
Unless you ain't getting no rest.
Come on.
You got to have rest. You got to rest. If you do not rest, you will fall apart and fly apart.
Yep.
America's learning the lesson the hard way. We said, man, we've worked our people to death, and now we're going to farm all this stuff out to Mexico and China and all these other stuff under the guise of we want to be on the world market. You know why we're doing that? Because we worked everybody 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, and 7 mornings a week, and everything else. And all the machinery flies apart, and all the people's been fixing it flies apart, and we can't get nothing done.
Yeah.
We can't even get people to work. They so overworked sometimes.
Yeah.
And then, listen to this. And then we tell the police, you need to arrest these criminals. But we won't tell them judges to keep them in jail. And then you got people standing up saying, well, we need to let all these illegal immigrants in. No, we need to let the legal ones in.
Right.
Let me fix your thinking on this, okay? I have no problem if you come in the right way. My people did.
Right.
We filled out the papers and got approval and came on in.
Right. Yeah.
So when was that? They told me, I forget, but it was a long time ago. It's been since 1776. I do know that much. I know where we come from, I know where we got off at, and I know what kind of papers we had, and we wasn't from Italy. You know how I know that? They didn't stamp our papers WOP, WOP. That's what they did to all the Italians. You'll get that in a minute. Hey, when you come in legally, they give you a Social Security card, and then you pay taxes like the rest of it. If somebody wants to come in illegally, that's why they don't want to, because they want to keep all the money. Hey, that's a nice trick you pull in there. I hope you get caught. Found out today over $5 billion went across our border where people that are illegal aliens are filing taxes in America and sending it, claiming they got 9 and 10 nieces and nephews that claiming on our taxes that don't even live here. Illegal aliens. I don't know what Democrat wrote that law, but Mr. Trump, please fire him.
Amen.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We already give billions of dollars out to Iraq. It made nuclear weapons. What are they going to do with that down there?
Right.
Oh, that's right. It ain't going down there, is it? And it's not going towards anything here either.
Yeah.
Hey, let's wake up, people.
Right.
Let's wake up. Listen to me. You got salvation. You got rest. Why do people not have rest? One of several reasons. Number one, they are not saved. They made a profession of faith to get the spiritual police off our trail.
Yeah.
Y'all go to a lot of churches. Tell me how many times a preacher's kid's been saved in these churches.
Well,
I've met preacher's kids. They get saved every revival. You know why? They get caught between each one doing something. And rather than admit they're wrong, they'll get saved again. Well, you can't count that on me. I was lost when I did that. Yeah, we can. Probably the sad thing is you saved the first four times ago, but you've been doing that to use that to get out of stuff, and everybody in church sees it.
Right.
Amen, friend.
Right.
You let them run wild, guess what happens? They'll go wild. And then when they get caught, they're going to come around, I wasn't really saved them last 10 times I got saved, and they'll try to make a face to face. They have no rest. They have no rest. Some folks I've noticed that you know, if they're given a rope, they'll make a noose and hang yourself with it. And then people usually do that because they have no rest. And then you find people that go to church and they'll walk in there, and this is probably the second reason. They get saved, they love God, they want things, and they want to do what God wants them to do. And then somebody wraps a big old wet blanket around them and puts their little fire out. You know who does that? The devil and his crowd.
Right.
My wife been saved not 2 weeks. Here comes somebody with a wet blanket. Well, I'm glad to know that you saved and you're doing well, but why don't you tell us how to beat that devil instead of how he beat you?
Right.
It's in the book how to beat him.
Amen.
Unless you got an NIV. Matthew 17:21. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You want to get the devils out of the deal, that's how you do it. But your Bible ain't got that. Sorry. Well, it's got it in another place. Really? Can you find it? Lady called from an abortion ministry talking about, we want to send you a flyer down there for church bulletin. I said, what's the flyer say again? And she told me when she quoted, I heard what she said. I said, that ain't the Bible. Oh, it's the whatever version. I forget what she said. I said, but it's not the Bible. I said, your Bible, you're quoting right there. I said, takes out 17 complete verses. But it's got this one. It'll be okay. I said, no, it won't. I said, because you are talking to a Bible believer.
Amen. Right.
I don't buy that stuff. You take a verse out of it, I don't care what it is. You take the verse out of it, it's done. It's already bankrupt.
Right.
I don't care which verse you want to pick either. You go to monkeying with this book, you'll be like that person on the phone. God's already monkeyed with that head. I told you just a couple weeks ago, hey, you can get a biscuit anywhere, but I'd rather have it from Hardee's than the sewage.
Right.
God operated a sewage tank. He lives on 150 down there. He told me for years. He said, you wouldn't believe all the stuff I see. Can I tell you something? A lot of folks get wet blanketed and they find no rest. Their preacher says, well, we gotta be at the soup kitchen Monday afternoon, and Monday night we gotta be over here at this revival. Tuesday, when you get off work, we're gonna come down here and bag up stuff for the homeless. Tuesday night we're gonna go over here and sing to the nursing home, and Wednesday night be here for church. Thursday night we're gonna have to do this thing over here and have a big old deal where we're passing out gospel tracts till 12 o'clock at night. And then Friday night we're gonna get together to go to the ball game to pass out tracts, and then Saturday morning we're gonna get there and have cookies for Jesus and Pilates for Jesus and all this other stuff. And Saturday night we got this thing going on, and then Sunday morning we got Sunday school, Sunday preaching. Then after that we're gonna have a children's church from now to 5:30. We'll get them all home and come back for service at 7. When do you rest? When do you rest? More people than not have fallen apart from that than they have the devil tempting them into anything. And while I hate the devil and I believe he's behind the majority of this stuff, I think he looks at stuff like that and just says, you know what? I'll rest while they fall apart. Too easy for him.
Right.
All we got to understand is this. God promised rest. If you look at Genesis chapter 14 over there, Genesis chapter 14, I'm going to show you this before we leave. There's a guy shows up in Genesis chapter 14, verse 1. Crazy this stuff is. Genesis chapter 14, we're going to see salvation and deliverance. 15 shows us rest over there. Look at this. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar. You are to underline that guy's name. And the first set of books that was put out, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, they said that guy was Hammurabi. You know, Hammurabi's code, that guy. Isn't that something? I don't know why they associate that and why they did, but I get it now. Because when the next edition come out, the scholar said, that probably, there's not enough scholarship evidence for that. You know why they said that? Because when you get down to verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. They don't believe 318 men can whip a whole five nations full of armies. They gave an excuse for that too. You know what I believe the Bible just showed us right there? Them guys that say, well, Hammurabi's code's older than the Bible. Whoop-tee. Let me show you something. There's the guy that wrote it in verse 1, and he got whipped by God's guy.
Right.
So I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm just telling you what these scholars debate about. I believe that probably is. And you know why? God's got a big sense of humor. Imagine their trump card they laid out on the table. Hammurabi's code. Imagine this. Abraham whipped him and four like him. Put them to flight and cut their toes off. I mean, beat them. Flat beat them with not even enough men, listen, to even have one army. He beat five armies. Them scholars that don't believe that don't believe verse 14, and they sure didn't believe it when Gideon done it with 300 against 22,000. Can I tell you something? You need to just rest in God's promises. I read this book and I come to it with belief. It's just something I don't know when I started doing this. I may have done it from the beginning, but I just realized it, that I've always went to the Bible saying, well, I believe it. I may not understand it. It may not make no sense, but I believe it. I went through this thing, and every time I see the word Abram, you know who that is? That's Abraham. I remember the first time I read the Bible, I kept thinking, where's Abraham at? I didn't know. I just knew God called some Abram guy. I thought, you know, I don't know if that's how you spell Abraham, but sure sounds like it.
Yeah.
I kept reading. You know what I ran into? God changed his name. Mm-hmm. Then the strangest thing happened. He had a kid. Then he had two kids.
Yeah.
And one of them was redheaded. This is for you. For you. Listen to me. But the other one's name was Jacob. And I knew there was a nation of Israel. I'd heard people talk about it. I'd heard preachers preach on it at funerals even. I thought, wonder when that guy's going to show up. Jacob this, Jacob that, Jacob this, Jacob that. I didn't know where Israel was. But then he showed up. God changed that guy's name to Israel. I thought, man. Then I knew that Jesus was going to show up eventually. I had to read 3/4 of the Bible to find him. For his name even. But I realized once I got his name, who was doing the 3/4 of the Bible, or whatever, it just hit me. That ain't this good stuff.
Right.
You talk to the average Christian about this, they have no idea what you're talking about. Jacob. I got a friend who's got a son named Jacob. You mean that's in the Bible? You mean rest is in the Bible? I thought God said work till the night is done. We'll work till Jesus comes. That's holiness salvation songs. Your book says rest. Again, most Christians know more about resting than they do work. But you ought to pick out a time of day you can rest in the Lord too. We talk about having, quote, devotions. That shouldn't be a struggle. That should be a time of rest where you get along and just get to open up your heart to God and talk to Him. Lord, this is bothering me. I've went to God mad at Him before. You ever got mad at God? Tell Him about it. He can talk to you about this stuff and straighten you out on it and help you with it. You don't think for a minute that a God who withstood 1/3 of his angels rebelling with one archangel against him is going to fall out with you because you got mad? Mighty big God, he can take care of that. He can take care of you. I get mad at God sometimes because things just fly apart and I don't understand why they're doing it. And I've done everything right. There's another preacher I know had a handicapped kid, and I won't even say his name because of what he said, but he said this. He said, I sat there in that hospital room, and I looked at that deformed child, and I said, God, why? I did everything right. Why? When he got along with God, when he finally broke down and got along with God, I said, I'm mad at you, God. God said, that child's going to be a blessing. He said, I'm sorry, Lord. Changes how you look at things. That kid's 20-something years old now. And I'm not talking about me. I'm just somebody else. I got mad at God about all three of mine. You got one nice, one loving, and one hard-headed. And you can just figure out which three of them are. But here's the thing. You know what God did? He uses that stuff. My little tantrums I throw when you ain't around, I say, God, I'm mad at you. He said, I can take it. I can take it. Lord, this didn't go right. Come on, son, just rest. I'll take care of it. And I find out more times I got to get to the rest before I get the answer. Lord, I just trust you. I don't care. It don't make no sense to me. I told you before, I've read things in the Bible, didn't understand them. Y'all remember Abraham Lincoln? Y'all know who that is? It's the guy on the $5 bill. Y'all know who that is? He made a statement one time, and he's quoted originally saying this. You will be the same this time next year except for the friends you keep and the books you read. I looked around one day and said, you know what? I'm changing my library, and I'm changing my friends. All of them at yang yang all the time and can't get no rest. I wasn't getting no rest either. I said, you know what? I need a new BFF. That's best friends forever for y'all people that text. And you know what God did? He said, I've been here, your BFF, the whole time. Hey, just rest in Jesus. If you're not saved, come to Jesus and learn how to rest. You don't have to be about everybody's business. You ain't got to, listen, I got a thing I want to put on the internet so bad and God won't let me. So I'm going to tell you about to get off my chest because I do have liberty to say it here. It's a little stick man with a big head. It's me doing like this. It said, this is Greg. He points to the little stick man. It says, if he don't like something on the internet he sees, he just scrolls on down, keeps going. You know why? I can't rest if I'm keeping something going all the time.
Right.
Post what you like. I can't believe they said that about... Rest, my friend, rest. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. That rest...